Someone put an order in for a chicken. Told my girl to order in, I need the kitchen. Yeah, they know I got the hook up. They just wait on me to cook up, baby. I heat up the stove, you do the dishes, you know.
One.
Rap game, crack game.
Okay. Krista. I have an exciting show for you today.
Tell me. Tell me all the things.
What do I need to tell you about my night last night?
Oh, tell me all about it.
So I'm hanging out in my apartment. I've got some candles lit. I'm feeling good. I've had 8 glasses of wine.
Gotcha.
It's an international show.
Tell me more.
We're going to the Great White North. We're going to Chopped. Canada.
Together, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay. We agreed to say that, but
take off. Take off through the night, take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off through the
night. Well, let's talk about Canada for a
Let's talk
minutes.
About Canada. I have never been. I've heard you have been. Tell me about that.
That is a fact. I've been quite a few times. I live pretty close to part of the Canadian border. So, yeah, just been there quite a few times. Love it. Great place. Super nice people. Toronto is just a fantastic city. I highly recommend going. It's just like good vibes, good energy.
I'll tell you, I've never been to Canada, but one of my best friends is from Canada. He's Canadian. He lives there now. And, fantastic, fantastic person, and I'm really glad to know him, and I hope he hears this someday.
Yeah, me too. David, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
What, maybe this is just me, and this is what I want to say, but do you ever forget how big Canada is?
I'm always aware of how big Canada is.
Lies, for real?
I'll say because I know it's... I mean, it's on top of the United States of America, and it shares that entire border. And I know it goes up for a long time. So no,
I just always forget this part. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's easy to forget that because I don't think that many people live up there. And granted, I don't
know. I think they like. Isn't there like some stat that it's like 80% of Canadians live within like 100 miles of the border? Or something?
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
Like
I mean. Similar with the United States, too. If you count the coasts as a border, then, like, almost everybody lives within it. I'll say about Canada, yeah, just not that densely populated.
Yeah, here, Canadian population. In 2016, 2 out of 3 people, so 66%, lived within 100 kilometers of the Southern Canada, United States border.
So like 600 miles?
I don't know. Also, is it kilometer or kilometer?
Well, the way I hear it in English typically is kilometer.
That's what I thought too. I just wanted to make sure. You know, we're trying to learn
we're,
out here.
We, yeah,
this
yeah.
is a learning
don't,
podcast.
Don't call us out. Call us in. We're still learning. We're listening.
At, 8,
we
6,
see
7,
you.
5309.
No, literally, don't call me. Just email Krista. Oh, as always, for issues with the show, complaints, email Krista. compliments, email me. But ask Krista for the email first.
Fair, fair. And one day we'll get that up and running. So right now, just comment on the pod and give us a 5-star rating.
On Amazon,
rating?
On eBay. Yeah, we're selling.
Add us to your top 8 friends on MySpace.
Chopped Canada.
Chopped Canada.
So, what is your familiarity with Chopped?
I watched some of Chopped during the pandemic. I went through a little bit of a United States Chopped phase. I liked it.
In the U.S., it's just called Chopped, right? There's no.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. But yeah, I've watched, I mean, I haven't watched like a million seasons, but I'm familiar enough with the show to know how it works.
Do you watch a lot of Food Network generally?
No.
Yeah.
But I do, when there's a really good food show, I do like it. Because I love to cook. And the older I've gotten, the more I've wanted to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's what's up. So, Chopped Canada, one thing I'll say about it is that they never just say Chopped. They always say Chopped Canada on the off chance that somebody who's familiar with the original Chopped will watch theirs and they will distinguish themselves Also, the Canadian flag is on all of their chef uniforms. Did you notice that?
I did not. Did you know they also have a spinoff of Chopped called Chopped 420?
Is that right?
Yes.
And that's on the Food Network.
I don't know if it's on the Food Network, but when I went to find an episode of Chopped Canada, it came up in my little Hulu search. Or not my Hulu search, I'm sorry. My Roku search.
Okay.
And it had all the spinoffs of Chopped, because you can like look them all up.
So in that one, they give you 4 minutes and 20 seconds each round, so
yes,
they get a little bit less time.
All the foods are green.
Which leads us into our first dish for tonight.
Wait, I think we should break it down.
Yeah, let's break it down.
So there is four contestants, four chefs, and they're competing for $10,000.
And one host.
One host, three judges.
Three judges who are also chefs in this episode.
Yes. Correct.
And four chef participants. Contestants, yes.
Mm-hmm. There's three rounds to the show. So basically what happens is in each round, you will open like a mystery box and there will be usually like 4 to 5 ingredients. And you have to make something incorporating all of those ingredients. The first round is an appetizer. The second is an entree. The third is a dessert. There's a time limit. And then you're judged on the taste, the presentation, and the creativity.
Yes. And of course, how you incorporated the, or whether you incorporated the ingredients in some.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But those are like the main three. And then each round, one chef is eliminated.
They're chopped.
Or chopped. Thank you. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at. David, I wrote down the four contestants in like a brief description about them.
Actually, let me see if I can remember their names, because I watched this.
Love that game.
There's a chef named Kamar.
Yep, Kamar.
There's a chef named Kate.
Yep.
Ashley?
Yes.
And Francois?
Correct. Wow. Good job. David did not get chopped that round.
All right. I'm doing a good job.
So quick, just little brief. You get to know like a 1 to 2 sentence brief about each of the chefs.
Oh yeah, do you recall those?
A little.
Okay.
So Kate is the first one, and the thing that stuck out to me is she's like, I cooked in Australia.
Yeah, that
I cooked in the outback, and then she goes, I cooked Bush Tucker.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I mean, I didn't feel
what's
that.
Well, first of all, what's Bush Tucker?
I don't know. The bush is like a part of Australia, like the Warrurl. Yeah.
Oh.
What's Bush Tucker? Carlson. George Bush Tucker Carlson. Radio show.
That was a good one. It's a.
Is it like rabbit?
According to Wikipedia, the definition is it describes any native fauna or flora used for culinary or medicinal purposes.
Okay, so
regardless of the continent or culture. So it can include kangaroo, emu, witchetty grubs, crocodile, and then other plants.
Okay, so she cooked with
she like ingredient cooked with
Australian fauna. Yeah.
Fun fact, can I just share one little personal anecdote here?
Sure.
I've had kangaroo. I tried kangaroo.
How is it?
It's gamey.
Yeah, I feel like it would be. Did you feel weird eating it?
No, I didn't. So I was at a like brewery bar. It was actually a beer hall, a German beer hall. And I was with my friend and we were reading the menu. We were going to get something to eat. Mm-hmm. So we were just stopping in for a drink. And there was something that said kangaroo, whatever. And I was like, is this really kangaroo or is like... it just looked a cute name. So we asked the bartender, and he's like, no, it's definitely kangaroo. But why, besides the fact that I wanted to share that because I did have kangaroo, part of why I wanted to share it is because it was in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Wow, so maybe there is
just like a
contingent of these little Australia. Commonwealths. Yeah. Well, yeah, both come from British Anglo countries, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, Kate. She's
fancy, yeah. And she's a mom.
She's a mom. And she weirdly, like, I'm just gonna say this now. She like weirdly like cries over her son. She's not because he's like
There's no problem.
She loves him.
She just loves him.
No problem.
Oh, yeah, she even said... Oh, actually, yeah. She gave an impression that she's the only person that loves her child. And someone else on the show also said something weird, and we'll get to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, just, like, very odd. The second person that's introduced is Kamar. I like him off the bat. He says, I believe that men are only as old as, or as only as young as they feel.
Yeah.
He's significantly older than
I feel very old, by the way. I feel lots older than I am. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Not to...
right. So, no. Yeah. But
it goes both ways.
He really does, like, he just, like, tries to embody, like, youthfulness and just competing. The third contestant we meet is Francois,
yeah.
Who, younger guy, very theatrical.
Yeah, he has a lot of personality.
A lot, like, too much for me, personally, but...
Wears a backwards hat, also.
Yeah.
I wonder if that has any utility in the kitchen.
Keeping your hair out of your...
Yeah, I mean, and we'll get to that, but, go on with Francois.
And then, fourth...
Oh, I'm sorry, contestant. Real quick about Francois. Yeah. He says, I really love my family. And I'm like...
Yes, he does!
Like, unlike most
people... Do people not love their family in Canada?
You love your family. No, they probably love their family more than anywhere else.
That's what I think.
Yeah. The thing is... They probably love other people outside of their family, or at least care for them as if they were their family.
Want to, like, just remind their family they also love them.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yes. And we have next Chef Kate?
Ashley.
Oh, Ashley, yes.
Who shares that she has struggled with addiction in the past. Some of that stems from her coming out as
gay, yeah.
That's and the then term also she says that food saved her. Like, so cooking, all of this.
Honestly?
Saved her.
Without food, I would be dead. Water,
same
too.
David,
yeah.
Well, that's debatable because I don't think I can drink water.
I'd say if you took food out of my life, I'd probably die in like 3 weeks. If you took water out of my life, I'd probably die in a week.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
I once read this thing that said, what if water is actually poisonous? But it takes like 80 years to do
that. Well, that's like the old adage about the worst STD is pregnancy. Or the worst STD is just being born because it always ends in death. Eventually.
Yeah, seriously.
I read this thing. It said, what if we ate water and drank food?
I should have known that was coming.
I'll say sort of the origins of that. I knew a guy. He stopped eating food. No, I'm sorry. This is a separate thing. I do know a guy who stopped eating food, and he lived for a long... I mean, he's still alive. But he I don't know. Okay.
2 days.
But
kidding.
That guy, he did open me up to something called... I think it's called, like, raw veganism. They eat raw foods. And it's vegan, so they're not eating raw meat.
Right.
They're eating plants and fruits. And they're avoiding water because of how it's treated or whatnot. So they would say, eat your water. And, right, because a lot of these fruits and vegetables, naturally, pretty lots of water. So, yeah, eat your water. That's something that's always been in mind. But with that, you can't drink your food. I guess you can if you have a nice blender.
Smoothie.
Nice smoothie. You have a juicer. Oh, if you have a juicer, you're definitely eating drinking your food.
Well, you said the word blender, and I just want to share that today's episode is sponsored by the Magic Bullet.
Oh, on YouTube? Oh, that's funny. I don't remember what my ads were. Oh, no, you're joking.
No,
they don't advertise. Yeah,
I'm joking.
They don't even make that anymore.
I just made that up.
I'll say one last thing about blender, Krista. Do you remember the song where the guy says, want to put my tender heart in a blender?
No.
Oh, interesting, because I remember you and I listened to a lot of, like, 90s music at parties and stuff, and that was a huge hit. Third, Eve 6. Anyway, so that's Ashley. Food saved her life. It's really incredible. And I'll say, not too much of a departure from the American version. The contestants give their little backstory, typically family-oriented. There's some memes. Usually there's somebody that has some sort of hardship that they actually need the money for. On this one, we'll point out that the prize is $10,000. And I think Francois says he wants to take his wife and and child out on a vacation. Kumar says, it's $10,000. I don't know if he gives a reason other than that, and frankly, does not need one, really.
Kate, I like her. She's like, I'm gonna, like, save some of it for my child's education, and we're gonna, like, go on vacation. And I'm like, that's how you know this isn't in the United States, because if you saved some of $10,000, it wouldn't be shit.
Yeah, there's actually no point in even saving it. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, let's roll into this. So, round one. Appetizer round. And David and I, when we decided to watch this, I had this idea that we should, as soon as they share the ingredients, we should kind of figure out what we would
pause make. Pause it. And put what you would chefs. Make. No way.
David, you do get pretty fancy in the kitchen, or very chef experimental.
I cooked for someone yesterday, and they said that the dish I made was their favorite thing that I've made them. And basically a real easy chicken thighs, artichoke type deal with scallions. I got the recipe from Allison Roman, who at the time published it in the New York Times. She's on her own now. I think she's great. I watch her YouTube and learn a lot from her. That's the thing. I watch a lot of people, and I say, oh, that looks so good. I'm going to try to make that myself.
That's, I think, really important, though, and experimental, too. It's not like you're just cooking the same things. But nonetheless, I digress. Round one. The ingredients are...
Fight.
Baklava.
Yes.
Roasted red peppers.
Duck confit. Duck confit, yeah.
And fresh savory.
Yes. Krista, did you know what fresh savory was?
I didn't, and I honestly forgot to look it up, so I'm going to look it up right now.
It looks like, to me, like water sprigs. I don't. It's like a green. It looks not that substantive.
It's a member of the mint family.
Yeah. It looks like it could be an herb or something.
Yeah.
Okay, and I imagine
it is an herb.
It's kind of savory. Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
But nonetheless, that's the those are the four ingredients.
What did you?
So what were you thinking of?
What did you write down? Because I wrote mine down.
So I was going two ways immediately. So the first way, or one way, was I was thinking about taking the duck confit, and recooking it with like a baklava crust.
Okay, like a chicken Kiev.
Adding it to like a crostini.
Okay.
With a red pepper sauce, and adding something a little sweet in there as well, and then topping with the savory, and also adding some of the savory into
the sauce?
The duck.
Oh, the duck. Oh, okay. That's...
I also thought a pasta dish.
Yes.
But here's the thing about pasta, is I felt that that wasn't an appetizer.
See, that's the trouble I get in here, because, yes, this is an appetizer. What I'm going to say could just as easily not be an appetizer, but right. I feel like it... They typically do use it for appetizers on this. And if you went into any bar, it's like you would probably maybe find it on an appetizer menu. But I was thinking duck tacos, and I would use... Ooh. I'll mention that there was skin on the duck. I would fry it up and make a nice chicharron with the duck skin, and I would use the fresh savory. I see, that's the thing. I don't know what it tastes like, so I would chop it up. I could chop it up like pretty good, and use it in lieu of like a cilantro type thing, or I could make, I would add that to the red pepper, hopefully find some chilies and make a nice salsa with that. And then the thing is, what am I going to do with the baklava? What I landed on for that was throwing that in the blender, and maybe it will make the salsa kind of sweet. And then I guess I could do what someone else did, which was they used the, little nuts from the baklava, which I feel like is not that creative of a use, but that could be good. So that's my thought. That's my thought on that, yeah.
So I wrote down what everyone made. I think we should just go through them really quick.
Yes.
Talk about them. So Francois made a pasta.
Yeah, it was a...
I had thought pasta.
Cantalini.
Well, kind of weird for an appetizer. He also said the word pasta very
oddly. Oh, how'd he say it?
I think he was saying pasta.
I think that's just how.
At first, I was just confused. I just never.
Pasta?
I mean, like, it's not like bad. Pasta. Maybe it's pasta? Not. I feel like it was like pasta? Harsher. No, I don't know. It doesn't matter. So basically, what he made was a duck confit cannellini. Cannellini, thank you. With roasted red pepper sauce.
I'll say the presentation kind of looked cool because it looked just like two big stuffed noodles. Yeah.
But basically, when they went to judges, the main complaint was that the filling was dry.
Yes. Yeah, I have dry here. But what did
have you ever had duck confit?
No, I've only had duck once, and I found a gamey as well. But
I think maybe duck pate.
I do like cooking confit, and I make a real, and this is also another Alison Roman, a nice chicken confit with lemons, and the fats and all that really make the lemons nice and easy to eat, a little sweet, nice. Yeah. I wasn't really huge on duck. I'm sure it's delicious confit, though.
Yeah. So then moving on, Ashley, she makes a duck confit charred. Charred?
Yeah, she used char.
Swiss chard.
Swiss chard, yeah.
Swiss chard. Charred salad with roasted red That's pepper right. vinaigrette. And I thought that sounded pretty cool. Like, I didn't even think salad. I liked that she made added tahini into the vinaigrette.
That's smart.
That added just a really good dynamic change.
That's what I thought.
And then she uses baklava as a crumble, but she forgets the savory. Completely forgets the savory.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I have that on my notes, yeah.
They liked it, but again, she was missing one ingredient, so she really got some backlash for that.
Let's move on to Chef Kate. Kate also did a salad, right?
Kate also did a salad, a duck confit salad with baklava vinaigrette.
Yes, her she big addition added was some mushrooms, and they looked beautiful.
They did.
It looked really cool.
But she didn't clean them.
Yes, and when called out on this, she said, I just really like rustic flavors. And
weird
they're like,
comment.
Yeah, and that was a lie, too, because I think she says afterwards. She implies afterwards that, yeah, she's like, yeah, I forgot to clean the mushrooms. But to the judge, she said, I like rustic. And he's like, yeah, there's a difference between rustic. It's, I don't know, unsanitary. Yeah. And then they even we have a bunch of sand on our plate or something.
Yeah. And also her vinaigrette was really chalky.
Yeah, that is the problem, right? It was very chalky.
So.
Next we
And then
have
last but not least, Kumar.
Kumar, yeah.
And he makes a duck confit with roasted red pepper. Pilaf.
Yeah, yeah. Delicious.
The way they spelled it was P-I-L-A-U, but I'm pretty sure it's all the same variation of.
I see. That makes sense because that's like kind of a cross-national dish, yeah.
Which, David, I was really excited about because we had plov.
Plov, yeah.
When we went to a Russian Uzbek restaurant quite a few years ago now. Good stuff. Also, I
Delicious.
Love pilaf. I actually just made a rice pilaf recently. Very good.
Love a rice pilaf, yeah.
Yeah, oh, so good. It's so easy to make, too, and so flavorful. My big thing here was it just really felt more of an entree than an app.
I felt that, too. It seemed like too much for an appetizer, and I guess I'm glad they didn't call him out for that, but the show should really evaluate, like.
Define it.
Yeah.
And here the judges said that he did not have a good use of baklava.
Right. I think he just did he just crumble and do the crush the nuts on it or
yes. Also, he did not use or his rice wasn't good.
His rice was a little wet.
Yeah.
It was a little wet, and that's something that kind of sticks to his craw. Should we go ahead and say who got chopped?
Yeah, I want to ask, did you think about, who did you think was going to get chopped at this point?
I wrote down each time, and
we're not the same person.
I thought it was going to be Ash. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be Ashley.
Me too.
Okay, and it ended up being Kate. And at first, I was like, oh, man. But then let's just go through. So Kate gets chopped and tells the camera, or cause it's like a confessional but audio. She says, someone who missed ingredients move forward. So she was not happy with that decision. I'll also say right before she got chopped, she pulls out a toy from her pocket. This was before they announced it, but this was like when they were criticizing her.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, my son like put this in my pocket and said good luck. And she was like crying. And then like one of the judges who was like the most mean to her gave her that smile. And I will say, I didn't feel bad for Kate, but I did feel bad for myself, because I've thought about times in which I've gotten criticism and there's like still other things to do, like either in a classroom or any number of things. And then I do something kind of nice, even though I'm kind of hurt. And then that person who just criticized me tries to give me one of those like, yeah, this is separate, this is separate how I'm reacting to you now.
Right.
But, yeah, so she gets chopped and she makes that comment and I didn't feel bad for her. And then now we're on to our second round, which is an entree.
Yes. And you have, I should have mentioned you had 20 minutes for the first round.
That's right.
You have 30.
30.
And the ingredients are pickle juice.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen French fries.
Shoestring fries, we'll mention.
Shoestring French fries. Albacore tuna.
Mm-hmm.
And water chestnuts.
Yes. What were you thinking of making? I wrote down two things. One was like a sashimi fries. Like kind of like a, you know, instead of nachos, sometimes you can get like fries.
Yeah, like a loaded fry.
Yeah, there you go. Like a loaded fry. I was thinking that and I think I confused water chestnuts with something else. I think I was confusing it with watercress, which you find in a lot of Asian food. And I thought, okay, you could use the pickle juice and the water chestnuts and maybe make like a sauce for it. But then I thought that's kind of an appetizer thing, even though not really. So I wrote down yapingachos, which is like an Ecuadorian dish where it's like... you make like a potato patty. So I think I could do that with the fries, like process it, make it into a nice patty, and maybe, I don't know, I would have, whoa. And then here's the other thing where I thought maybe not this one. I thought, okay, I'll just cook the albacore tuna like I would, like really just sear it because you want it pretty raw. And I thought, oh, they're going to think that's kind of lame because... that's just using the ingredient on its own and it's not really doing anything with it. But I think it would have paid off in this case. And as to the water chestnuts and the pickle juice, I honestly make some sort of sauce with them. I don't know.
I had two ideas.
Okay.
The first one was a tuna burger.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's good.
With a water chestnuts. And then like basically a side of French fries, like fancy them up.
Yeah.
With, like, a pickle aioli.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Or like a pickle sauce, basically.
Oh, I love that. You know what? That would work because, like, people like mustard. The pickle sauce is kind of similar. That's what I'm thinking.
The other idea I had, which was very similar, was, like, and this is me probably reaching a little bit, but some sort of, like, fancy sushi roll, and the french fry could be, like, the crust. Kind of like where you were going. And then topped with a dill drizzle.
That's interesting. Kind of like a tempura type component.
Like a temp. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you could put maybe the water chestnuts inside it. But I'm not going to lie. I didn't know with this tuna if this was like, if it was raw grade.
That was one thing I wondered was how fresh it was. Because it's like, stew a tuna. Yeah. And maybe it's not that
but
fresh.
But nonetheless.
Yeah. But I've made like tuna steaks before, and yeah, the key is just not to overcook it because the judge even says if you overcook it, it's going to taste like a canned tuna, and that's not what you want from something like that. Tuna has a really nice, you bite into it. There's give and it has a really nice flavor. The less it's cooked, so let's get into it.
Ashley, what does she make? She makes shoestring French fried albacore tuna.
What can you describe that a little bit as far as
it was? tunas that were had like a french fry crumble on top.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
She also made polenta on the side, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, it didn't really make that much sense to me. It just seems like separate, right. Separate items. And what did she make the polenta out of? What did she incorporate for that?
I don't think she did.
I think it was just a whole...
It was just a side.
Yeah. I do kind of like the idea of, not a polenta, but maybe a nice grits with the pickle juice. Because you might get some.
Why wouldn't you just use the french fries?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think she was afraid that she would get dinged for not transforming them.
I think you could transform them, though. I almost thought about transforming them to mashed potatoes by having, bits of the potato.
Yep. I was thinking that too.
That's why, your potato, cake thing or a patty, that makes so much sense. She overcooks the tuna. That's a piece of feedback. Another piece of feedback is she sweats into the polenta.
That's not even feedback at that point. They're straight up she just sweated.
It was pretty gross.
It's funny because in the first segment, I did notice the camera, zoomed in a little bit on her sweating, and I was like, oh, man. And that sucks. I mean, people do sweat at different rates. But also, I was thinking, undoubtedly, if you've been to a restaurant.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And also, they show the chefs just picking up things that are without a glove. I mean.
Or, drinking and tasting on the same spoon.
Oh, shoot. That must happen. But that one is a little harder for me to deal with.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, for sure. Francois, he makes tuna fish and chips.
Yeah.
Very similar to my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Overall was pretty well received, except overcooked the tuna, and they wish they saw more with his french
fries. And that's the problem. While that was happening, I was thinking, you have to be really careful, because you fry something like that, it's going to cook too fast. I don't know what the solution is, just to flash fry it, but then you may not get a full fry, I don't think. So... yeah, fish and chips, that's tough, because imagine, one of the great things about fish and chips, you bite into a pollock or something, and it goes right through.
Fry, by the way.
It goes right through real easy. If tuna is really cooking up the way the judge said, imagine the texture of a canned tuna after a nice fried bite. You wouldn't. That doesn't really work.
Unrelated but related. If... currently, as we're recording, it is the season of Lent, so if you participate,
it's a Lenten
great.
Season.
If you don't, great. But send us your best fish fry recommendations. I'm craving a good fish fry.
What recommendations could they give us? Like where they live?
Get a good fish fry. Yeah, anywhere, wherever you are. All we're right. not going to tell you where we are, but we will travel. Or maybe it'll be in our neighborhood.
Or maybe when we go on tour.
Yes! A tour is being discussed, fam, so just be on the lookout and give us your best fish fry spots, nonetheless. So, moving on to, do you know who went next?
Kumar.
It is, yeah. He makes a rice dish.
This interesting choice, because he made a rice dish first.
Immediately, and we'll, I was like, that's odd.
That, no, you know what? It clicked for me, because the title of the episode is Rice Twice.
Rice. So, and by the way, we didn't even mention this. We're watching season 3, episode 3.
Okay.
And it aired in 2016. But we can talk more about that.
And
later.
You definitely feel all the vibes of 2016 throughout the episode.
Yes. Very 2016.
Yeah.
But
all the celebrities were dying in the middle of the episode. Remember that? That was a big thing in 2016.
Was it?
All these celebrities died, yeah.
That's crazy. I don't remember 2016, apparently.
Damn. Well, you know what they say? If you remember 2016, you didn't really live through it.
That's probably true. So, yeah, he makes a rice dish. He used a dough made out of french fries, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Makes, I think it's a chapati. He also overcooked the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, they just...
And... he doesn't use
the pickle juice. Which is a real shame, because I feel like that would have been the easiest thing for him to use. Can I say something about Kumar? In the first challenge and this one, it is commented on that he doesn't really ever looked rattled. And they're like, damn, is he moving slow, or is he just like... And it'll be like, no, it'll be like, yeah, he's already starting to play. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think I wrote down what Kate... Oh, Kate's out by this
Kate's
point.
Out. Yeah, she's...
Also...
She's putting her son's toy okay. in the microwave for making her lose.
Yeah, I literally already forgot that. But also, I just want to mention, Francois makes a really amazing tartar sauce with the water.
Oh, yeah, they said it's the best.
Yes, like and that comes ball. Up, you know, they comes really do point that out, so...
Did he put the pickle juice in there? Is that what made
yes,
it good?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if he just got some tartar sauce and pickle juice. Because it's
pickle aioli, my dill aioli.
Yeah, there you go. That's because I feel like people bag on pickle juice. The judge even said, oh, well, it's good for a hangover. But no, I feel like it could elevate almost anything.
I went out on a date with a guy this weekend, and he told me, Mom, if you're listening... you don't know that I'm dating, but
oh shoot, I thought you were gonna go into like never mind.
Please turn the podcast off.
Yeah,
no. He said a quote that I think is really relevant to life, which is, I don't trust people who don't like pickles. I kind of think I vibe with that. I love pickles.
That reminds me of something. Do you remember the show How I Met Your Mother? In the pilot,
okay,
when Ted and Robin are
we gotta get into this. We're
pickle
gonna get
theory.
Into this. It's olives.
Oh, it's olives? Oh, shoot.
Which, you want to know, it's hilarious. I love olives, and this man does... It's one of, like, the only three foods.
Well, interesting, because someone I dated said, don't trust someone who doesn't like olives.
I mean, I'm very Greek, so...
Yeah.
But I also, like, take that as a position, like, that's fine with me, because I'll just eat the olives.
Also, some people say they don't like olives, but there's so many varieties of olives. They might actually like olives. Even between black and green olives, you get such different flavor profiles.
I didn't like green olives for the longest time, but I actually do like them now.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a martini with green
yep,
olives?
I have. Olives? Sure have.
I don't think I've ever had a martini in general.
Oh, yeah.
I need to try fancy drinks over the next, like, 20 years.
Yeah. And then after 20 years, they're cutting you off?
Well, I just figure by that time I'll probably hit all the fancy drinks. Because I've never had an old-fashioned either, and I feel like that would be
cool. Okay.
Or like a whiskey sour.
A nice whiskey sour. That's cool. I had one more thought about pickles.
Olives.
I mean...
Dates.
I mean, you could preserve dates, no?
I said my date.
Oh. I was thinking, like... I was going to say...
That's amazing. Yours is way better.
If you preserve a date, is that a save the date?
There it is. It's a good one.
So...
What if you sent out for dates?
Oh, that would be
cool. And it was save date.
Oh,
and it had like a little wrinkly date in there.
Oh, that could act well. That's a sweet. That's
it
a sweet
cute.
Thought. That it depending.
Literally, it's sweet because dates are.
I
think it's cute. Someone's gonna steal it, and you're gonna see it all over Pinterest.
I'm sure. I bet you because you notice avocado gets utilized into a lot of cute things these days. I bet you dates serve similar purposes in different cultures that eat a lot of dates.
The funniest thing I've ever seen, not really ever, but was a TikTok of this guy opening it up, like cutting open an avocado.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen this TikTok?
No, go explain.
So he opens it up and he goes, oh no, another wooden ball.
That is really funny. And actually I think
I do that every time I open an avocado now. Every time.
That's so funny.
So. That's
so do you want to go on to who gets chopped or
who did at this point I think Ashley's going home again because she sweat into the polenta.
That's what I think too, and I think they comment on the when they show the three contestants in the back, they all go over what they messed up on, so they're all pretty frank about that. And I think Kumar says it's anyone's game, which is like a very real, like a very this type of show type thing to say. But he was right. It was anybody's game. And she herself, Ashley, is pretty sure that she's going home. And is that the case? Yes, it is absolutely the case.
Which I think that's no surprise.
And she says she put her whole blood, sweat, and tears into it, so.
Cringy. A little cringy for me.
Yeah, I feel like that's not out of place on this type of thing. And it's something, I frankly could do without.
So round three, dessert round.
Yes. I feel like this is the round I would always struggle with because I don't really make... I've hardly ever made my own dessert. Do you?
And baking is
you
so
do bake,
much harder.
Yeah. And it takes too long for this, no?
Right. You have 30 minutes for this round as well.
Yeah, it's not that
The ingredients are red quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
Walnut oil.
Yes, that was a new one for me.
Mascarpone. Mascarpone. Is it? There's no... Is it M-A-R?
I think so.
Or is it, like, mascarpone?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know, because I think I Googled it later to see if it was in a dish I was thinking of, and yeah. I probably misspelled it.
And cantaloupe.
Yes. The most, like, normal ingredient in this entire episode.
I hate cantaloupe.
So, what did you write down for what you might do with it?
Okay. This is getting real crazy over here for Krista.
Yeah.
I said I would make, like, a chocolate quinoa, either souffle or brownie.
That sounds nice. Sounds real nice.
With a, like, mascarpone walnut middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cream filling.
Mm-hmm.
Topped with a cantaloupe slash maybe cherry or, like, another fruit that goes with cantaloupe reduction.
That sounds nice. Did you say a stuffed walnut? Did you say a stuffed...
No, I said stuffed with the mascarpone walnut oil middle.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Although you could probably use the walnut oil in the reduction as
In
well.
The reduction.
I don't really know what goes with cantaloupe. I'm not a big cantaloupe person. So that's why I just said cherry. But I think any fruit that would complement
you know
it
what
that's
would
darker,
can...
a little richer.
You know what? Oh, it's you want darker and richer? Okay. So initially I was thinking, you know what complements cantaloupe are... watermelon and pineapple, because I feel like you find those
Ooh,
mixes
pineapple
a lot.
Could be
pineapple could be
cool.
Nice, yeah. So I was thinking, a cannoli, and I might try to figure out a way to infuse either the cantaloupe and cannoli, like sort of together, or make, I don't know. But here's what I have. Cantaloupe, cannoli, so any sort of, the best way you can imagine that. And then for the quinoa, I wrote down either candy or caramelize it and have it either next to it or on top of it. And I see, that's the thing. The walnut oil, I don't know. I don't know if I would just sort of fry that up to make the cannoli. If I don't know if it fries what the smoke point is or if it would just be a part of the candied quinoa or caramelized. I guess for caramelized, it would probably have to.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on that.
I think you were a little bit closer. Well, I think elements of both of ours are in that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Kumar makes cantaloupe mascarpone souffle. He makes a cantaloupe mascarpone souffle sorbet.
Yes.
And the sorbet is well received.
Well, we should go into what Francois made, because there's a whole lot of...
Yes.
There's a whole story within this.
So, Francois makes... a pâte au chocolate?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what that is.
It looked like a little, almost like pudding, but...
Yeah.
And it was topped with sorbet, cantaloupe sorbet. I personally thought the visual aspect wasn't great. And
no.
So the chefs, they didn't...
They did not like... They didn't really care for that.
Presentation.
The thing about this is that they both made a sorbet, so they needed the ice cream machine.
Yeah.
And there's only one ice cream machine, and Chef Francois got there faster. And ice cream machines take a little while.
Yeah.
Side note, I went to a Christmas with a little, you know, you visit some people on Christmas, you visit multiple houses sometimes. My mom and I went to a house. And as we were leaving, the host says, I got this ice cream machine. Let me make you some ice cream. And we didn't know how long that took. And it took a very long time. And you know what the flavor was of the ice cream?
Give me a hint.
The hint is that you would probably not find this at your grocery store. It's an interesting fruit. And...
Grape?
No, although that might be an interesting ice cream. It's a less common fruit.
Kiwi.
Persimmons.
Oh.
And it was the first time I had anything persimmon flavored, and I did not like it. Also, yeah. This person has messed up dishes before, so it's very possible.
So you're like, I'll still try it again.
Yeah, I'd be willing to, especially now with my more refined palate.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
All right, so they both needed the ice cream machine. Francois got to it first. Francois is just idling by the machine, and Kumar asks him a couple times, "Oh, you're almost done with the machine?" "Not yet, Kumar," he says, but he wasn't rude. And in his confessional, Francois says, "I'm not trying to sabo him, so I got to get this thing ready," because he isn't a time crunch himself.
Yeah.
But he used the word sabo to stand for sabotage. Yeah. Interesting. I don't use the word sabotage enough to have to shorten it. That's just me.
I also felt here this was a really good, I think, difference in the American or the yep. United States version versus the Canadian version, and a few other times is like where they're all being nicer to each other.
They are being nicer to each other. And there's no posturing like, "Yeah, I'm the one that's gonna blah," you know. Like when they got the two chefs, like they're like, "It's down to you two," and they're like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah." And then Francois is like, "Yeah, I respect Kumar a lot." And then
I loved it.
Respect. Yeah, it's cool. So Kumar finally gets to the ice cream machine, and by this point they're just a few minutes. So he's like just scraping. He's like, and there's like 1 minute left. And I even texted you, I was like, "Oh no." And I was like, "What's he going to do? Is he just going to, like, wait for it?" And then he's like, "Okay, I'm going to get it out a little early. I'm going to scrape it out." He does, and he makes it in time. I thought, well, there's no way he's going to make it. But he gets his dish plated. And what were the judges' critiques, Krista?
They both said, for both of them, that the sorbet was really, really good.
Yeah, that's right.
In different ways. They said for Francois' chocolate part, it was a little too heavy.
Yeah, they said it was a heavy dish.
And then they also didn't love his little quinoa brittle thing.
Yeah, what did they say about it? Was it too crunchy? What was the criticism?
Oh, the quinoa was gritty. And actually, that gritty. Was a similar sentiment.
So what did Kumar make?
Oh, I thought I already said. He makes like a sorbet with, I can't remember what's on the side.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm having trouble remembering. He caramelized the quinoa.
Oh, it was just, I wrote just cantaloupe, mascarpone, souffle, sorbet. Oh, apricots. He fried up apricots.
Yes, that's right. And he stuffed the apricots.
The sorbet was definitely the main part where, like, in Francois, sorbet was added to it.
Yeah, so similar to how one of the contestants in the early round just did a polenta, he kind of does that with the apricots, right, but he does incorporate other things a little bit, but it's like, did you need to do that? Although I guess he was kind of just waiting around.
Yeah.
You know? So that may have been a little case of just doing too much. I also say too, when Kumar's waiting around, Francois waits around because he wants to chill his dishes. And I don't think the judges realize that. They're like, "What's going on? Why are they hanging
like,
out?"
It's so intense about it. They're so dramatic.
Yeah, and then they're like, there's a staring contest by the ice cream machine. I'm like, do they think that they're mad? And he's like, "Yeah, it's between Kumar and the ice cream machine. Who's gonna win?" I'm like, okay.
So, who do you think is gonna win?
It's tough because, well, we should mention, the winner isn't picked on the dessert alone. They're picked throughout the whole thing.
All three.
And I thought Kumar messed up the least throughout the whole thing. But then they pointed out that Francois,
he made rice twice.
He did make rice twice, even though they said the second time the rice was fantastic. It was fluffy. But, yeah, I think it really bothered them that he made rice twice. And they also,
and he forgot the pickle juice.
And he forgot the pickle juice.
So that's why I was assuming he was going to lose.
Yeah, and they did say about Francois, and once they said this, I was like, "Oh, I think he'll win." When they said the tartar sauce was the best thing they had all day.
Yeah. And who wins?
It is Francois.
Yeah. And honestly, Kumar takes it like a champ. He's like, "Cool, like, good job." Like, honestly, you almost felt like he didn't want to win. Like, he was just really chill about it.
He was just, he would have thought it impolite to win, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe Francois feels bad. He's like, "Oh, man, should I have not won?"
One thing I just, in the end, that kind of, like, it's, like, so annoying was, like, this phrase, twice rice, or rice twice. What is it?
Rice twice.
In the last, like, 4 minutes of the show, they say it, like, 4 or 5 times.
It's too much.
I was like, literally, if you watch this episode, play a drinking game with your friends.
Oh, my God. Of rice, of, like, grain alcohol.
Of rice milk.
You would just die. Oh, do you remember when rice milk was, like, a bigger deal?
My stepdad still drinks it.
Interesting.
But he can't have soy, and he can't have regular, so.
Why can't he have soy?
He's allergic to soy.
Oh, he's allergic. Yeah, yeah. Soy allergies. He can't have regular. Yeah, has he tried, like, cashew milk or oat milk?
No, I think rice was, like, pretty much the alternative on the market at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember. Years now. I remember when it was, like, the alternative. Yeah, interesting.
And I drink almond.
Oh, I love almond milk. Yeah. It's so good.
So.
Although, oat milk is really. Okay. All right. We could do that conversation off air. But I thought it was just a polite show, and Francois, even before their last contest, said, it's an honor for me to compete against you, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're right, Kumar seemed like he was just as happy not winning, so, amazing. I thought also Ashley showed good sportsmanship, too, when she says being on the show's changed your life, or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honor of a lifetime, I think she said, yeah. So
just a couple housekeeping things, too.
Let's do a little housekeeping.
Like I said, this was season 3, episode 3. The title is Rice Twice.
Uh-huh. So you could do that drinking game in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Watch this episode every time you hear Rice Twice.
Yeah.
Take a little sip.
Don't.
It is Chopped Canada, I think, was only on for 3 seasons.
Interesting.
4 seasons, I'm sorry.
How many episodes do you know?
98.
Okay, yeah.
So, it aired from January 2014 to February 2017, so we were really right in the middle here. And it was on Food Network Canada. We currently watched our episode
on YouTube.com.
On YouTube. Yep, and we can share that link in the show notes if you're interested in watching it as well.
Yeah, and I would recommend, I mean, this. I've never seen Chopped Canada before, but yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's good. It's just as good
There's
as the
almost no difference.
I will say
than the U.S. version, besides the politeness.
I like Ted Allen a lot as a host, and I thought this. I mean, there was nothing wrong with this presenter in the Canadian version, but he didn't stand out. Yeah, he was good.
Okay.
He was good. I don't mean to be, like, rude or anything, but Ted Allen, I think, is, like, a next-level presenter.
Okay, he is... I want to see who this guy is, actually, the host.
Can you say his name for us?
I'm making sure it's him first.
Okay, because I remember when I saw his name, I was like, this might be... It's a name that we could talk about.
Okay, his name is Brad Smith.
Brad Smith, yes.
So before it was Dean McDermott.
Uh-huh.
Who
played for the Sabres?
Would
oh, really?
Huh?
He played for the Sabres. Dean McDermott.
Yeah.
What's he been in?
He has been in. Oh well, he was married to Tori Spelling.
Really? You know, and you know, Aaron Spelling.
Or he might still be married to her. Yeah.
You know. Is. Do you know what Aaron Spelling co-created?
I mean, a lot of stuff, but what?
Yeah, well, what would I mention specifically that he co-created?
I don't know.
Krista, I talk about it with you, like, every day.
Oh, my God.
Seventh Heaven.
Now, oh, my. That's where I know his name.
Yeah.
Seventh Heaven. That episode's coming in our Patreon
only. Yeah, Patreon only.
But do you see this guy?
I do see him.
that's Dean.
So he's in films?
But he was the...
Can you go to his filmography, please?
Yes.
Oh, apparently he and Terry... Oh, never mind. I've not seen
any of these movies.
Maybe he's a TV guy. You know what those movies and most of these shows probably are? Are you familiar with the phrase CanCon?
No.
So the Canadian government mandates that their networks show... dedicate X amount of airtime, and this is true for radio, for programs that are made in Canada by Canadians. And my friend who is Canadian feels that these are of much less content. Like, these are typically bad content compared to American and shows from abroad.
interesting.
So shows that are made like specifically for that, and there's maybe a little less care put into them, those are called CanCon. But of course, there are some Canadian shows that are very good, and some that we even know here, and those are not considered CanCon. But yeah, as far as his shows, he's in NCIS, yeah.
And he was also in the, like, in reality shows with Tori Spelling, and I think I remember them being on TV.
Okay, oh, okay.
Nonetheless, so he is not the current host. The current host is Brad Smith. And Brad Smith, first of all, this guy looks like he could trying out for The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah, he's very handsome. I wonder if they do, like, a Canadian Bachelor, maybe he could host that. Or be The Bachelor.
He also was a Canadian former professional football player.
Oh, who did he play for?
The Edmonton Eskimos.
Oh.
Also, he was drafted by the Toronto Argonauts.
Argonauts. I'm a Winnipeg Blue Bombers fan.
He is a political guy. His son of a senator.
Oh. What party?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh, really? So that's Chopped Canada. Chopped
Canada. Highly recommend. Want to do a quick heat thermometer, which is even funnier because it's a cooking show.
Sure. I'll say mine first.
Okay. Let me think of yours. I'm going to say for you. Okay. Ready?
Yeah. 135. Cooked nice, safe to eat, still juicy. 135.
Okay.
Yeah, 91 though. I mean, but that's pretty much it. Like that, yeah, it's like a perfect dumb little show. It's not dumb, but it's not.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. It's nice.
Yeah.
Ted Allen would have given it 9 more points.
Extra 8, 9 points.
So, how about you?
All right, I got it. 3, 2, 1. 89. 91. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think it's good. I recommend it. This isn't something, it's light. It's interesting to see that kind of stuff. But,
YouTube auto-played for me, and it put on this show called Man vs. Child. And it's like three children who have to make something, and I guess they get eliminated, but they also compete against a grown person, chef. So I don't know, they could have just called it Chef versus Child, because you know.
Yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, I guess it was a play on man versus food, which kind of implies that he's gonna eat the children. So yeah, we'll go on that note. Do we want to spin the wheel? Okay, all right, crowd, this is Krista's favorite part of the podcast, and maybe mine too. I'm always very excited.
It's always fun.
We have a ton of different series on here for folks who have not heard very many episodes. We have sitcoms, dramas, older shows, newer shows. Do we have that many newer shows? I don't know. We have some current shows. We're just going to go ahead and do it.
It's a good mix, for sure.
It's a nice mix. Scripted.
I feel like we've hit a lot of the...
non-scripted.
Did we watch a crime show?
Chopped Canada? Have we seen a show that's currently on? Yeah, All American. And
no, crime.
Nashville. Oh, crime? Well, at the end of All American, it's not a crime to accidentally get into a car
accident.
No, we have not watched procedural. Okay. I think that would be the most fun. That's what I'm rooting for. Although there is a show on here that I'm rooting for even more than that. But we'll see if that gets picked. So I'm going to go ahead and press spin. Ooh. Pickerwheel.com shout out. It's slowing down. The Simpsons. I thought the arrow was on the backyardigans. So when it said The Simpsons, I was actually really surprised.
This is going to be fun.
Wow. Okay. The Simpsons. Fun thing about this, I've only seen... Krista's not seen it very much at all, I think you said in a previous episode.
No, I'm not super familiar.
Early Simpsons, and by that I mean like the first 10 seasons, which is a weird thing to say about a show. I love. My favorite show ever, but it's on like season 40 now, and
so crazy.
I can't do it. So the odds of us getting an episode past the golden age and the good age are pretty high. So this might
we'll have
be
to do some internal discussion of like what episode, season, and stuff, because this is such a long show.
It's
that
such a long show.
Yeah. I don't think we need to do season three, but maybe we still.
Oh, I would love to do season three. Definitely.
Let's do season three.
We'll figure out how we want to do it.
We'll do season three and random generate a number.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Okay.
As we do with most of these shows.
Oh, I'm so glad. I thought we were gonna get like season 28. Marge becomes a robot
We've
or something.
We really try to get an early season, usually not season one, because as you may know, a lot of, you know, season one, the first season of shows are trash.
Are mid. Although I wouldn't mind. Some shows just really hit the ground running. True Detective. I mean, those are technically seasons.
Yeah, but True
seasons.
Detective is its... They are the serial. The first season is its own... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's...
What's the phrase? It's an anthology series, I believe they call
great
it.
Great show if you haven't watched it on HBO.
The best, especially
season
two.
Season two gets some hate, but I will be watching it eventually. So
all right.
Maybe we'll do a pod about it. But thank you all for listening and supporting the pod. We do this for ourselves, but we're really excited.
We do it for that $10,000 Shop Canada cash prize. And absolutely. The only ingredients we have are random episodes of shows. So. Good night, everybody.
Said it would be easy to be a kid, but growing up's tough when you think of the things you did. Everybody's always trying to show you the way and telling you to work, and all you want to do is play, and your friends want to hang, go out and have a blast, laughing and they joking at the back of the class, and you want to dance, have a good time and relax, sitting with your friends in your favorite tracks. I'm saying sometimes life is a place we don't get. You know you'll make it through, just believe, and you'll set an example of what you want to be, what you want to see. Use your imagination, be free.